Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Ops DSSA call today on the 2nd of April. On the call today, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblond, Jim Galvin, Mike O'Connor, and Jörg Schweiger. From IC and staff, we have Bart Voswinkel, Julie Hedlund, and Christina Nordstrom, and apologies from Mark Costers.
Thanks, Christina, and thanks all for joining. As you will see, we've got, I think, lots of items, but nothing dramatic on the agenda today, but we are going to have to sort of push along to get through all this stuff. The first up one is the report outline and that spreadsheet that I prepared. And, you know, I was thinking about it after I admonished you last night on the list. Sorry about that. That, you know, I don't think our goal is that it's perfect. My goal in talking to you all before releasing it to the group is to make sure that I haven't made some gigantic error that can't be fixed, because I'm assuming that these drafts are going to change a lot between now and the time that they're delivered in Prague. But I didn't want to just splash that whole huge thing on the group without letting you all take a look at it. So for this conversation, I, those documents are too big to take you through one at a time. That's why I sort of bugged you yesterday to at least take a look at them. But I just want to take some time today and make sure that I haven't made a giant mistake. We had a little conversation on the list. Jörg raised what I thought was a really good point. And that, you know, it's sort of at that level that I'd like to stay, if we could. So with that, I want to stop and let people sort of chime in and just get a sense as to whether this is ready enough for prime time. Getting the, hopefully, golden silence that it's close enough to go ahead and roll it out to the group. Okay. I'll do it. The next thing that I wanted to visit with you about is, as I was doing the status report, it dawned on me that Prague isn't that far away. And we've got a fair amount of stuff that we got to get done. And so I started sketching some milestones, which I have cleverly hidden on the screen. There it is. And I pushed this out to you all yesterday as well. And I came up with an idea this morning that I wanted to try out on you, which is, I was on the State's Broadband Commission in Minnesota for a while. And at one point, we had to prepare a gigantic report, kind of not, the one we're doing for the DSSA isn't as big as the one that we had to prepare for the state of Minnesota. And our brilliant chair said to us one day, why don't you all go home and between now and the next meeting, write 5 paragraphs about any part of the report outline that you want to. And we'll just staple them into the draft and see what we get. And in one cycle, in our case, we were meeting once a month instead of once a week. In one cycle, we got a huge amount of work done because we sort of crashed through the sort of writer's block that people have. And some people wrote really rough stuff, and some people wrote really good stuff, and we threw it all in the pot. And pretty much from then on, we were editing and revising and building on that huge piece of work that people did as individuals. And I was thinking that that approach might work pretty well for sort of the immediate several weeks of the DSSA. Because as you'll see in that middle part, we've got a deliverable in confidential information that's so close to done that I almost think of it as done, but we need to polish up that one last how do people exit discussion. But we've got two big pieces of creative work that need to get done. One is for people to start creating risk scenarios. And my thought was that we might just throw that spreadsheet out to folks and let them take a whack at creating a few scenarios between this Thursday and next Thursday in that same model. And my guess is that what we'll get is a whole lot of fallout. We'll get fallout because the lists are wrong. The lists of vulnerabilities, predisposing conditions, etc. And we'll also get, my hope would be, a whole bunch of risk scenarios that we can then sort of start to digest and put into clumps and stratify, etc. So I wanted to try that idea out on you and also let you take a look at this list of milestones, again with the eye to, is there anything egregiously wrong, and especially important on this part, is there anything big that's missing from this list? Because I'd hate to get to Prague, or, 3 weeks before Prague and go, oops, there's this huge thing that we were supposed to do that we didn't. And so again, I want to just take a moment to let you digest this and contemplate it.
So this is Jim. I have a question.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jim.
The goals for Prague, when you say a firm approach, I guess it feels to me like we've been saying a firm approach multiple times in the not-too-distant past. So I'm wondering what's left to affirm.
Yeah, approach is probably the wrong word. Approach is now taken on a bit broader meaning, and it may be that we will want to call that framework instead.
Now, again, framework now in this case, meaning
risk framework.
The risk framework, summarizing the risk framework. Risk assessment framework. Well, I thought, again, that we had decided that we're going to do this outline the way that we've been doing it. Haven't we made that decision? And I noticed that Olivier has his hand up, which presumably is to contribute to this conversation, so maybe we should get that in the mix too here. I'm more stuck on the word affirm than what it is you're trying to affirm. I'm just thinking that we've affirmed everything. We're committed to what we're doing, so I'm just not sure where we are. Maybe Olivier's got something new to add here.
Yeah, go ahead, Olivier.
Yeah, hi, it's Olivier. Thank you. Actually, no, I wasn't going to contribute on that. It was a question I was going to ask, so I'll let you deal with Jim's question here.
Well, the thought is that we're going to come out with a pretty detailed risk assessment framework. And, that's a pretty big deliverable that's now being it sort of snuck into a bunch of reports. It snuck into the SSRRT report. And so my thought was mostly, and probably affirm is the wrong word too, but the thought was that we would, by the end of Prague, not only have developed the darn thing, which we haven't really quite done yet, but we would also come out of Prague with people aware of it and thinking about it and giving us feedback on it. I agree. I'm not trying to go back and revisit the decision, because I agree with you, Jim. I feel like we've decided that the NIST framework is sort of the way we're going. So this is on to the next phase, which is push a really detailed version of that out to the community and let the community start digesting it.
So maybe it's a publish or produce rather than a firm?
Yeah, that's fine with me. I don't know what's with my fingers today. There we go. For the community, to the community. How about that? I like that.
And in this case, it's the community at large, you know, not just our working group, right?
Better yet. Bart, are you in on this one? Do you guys?
Yes. Going over it in preparation of this call, I had a look again at the charter of the working group. And say as an overarching point, in order for the community and the broader community to understand where the working group is or will be at Prague, maybe relate this to the, the objectives and goals of the charter as well, as they listed in the charter.
Okay. I'm going to put this as a note up here.
Because at the end of the day, it's the mandate of the working group itself and what they are doing.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I wish I'd thought of that idea. Okay, anything else? Olivier, now you got a different one. I want to try it.
Yes, Mikey, thank you. It's Olivier for the transcript. Just a question about something which I think might be missing. We haven't identified any sources.
Sources of?
Of the actual information that will be analyzed. So what we have here is the analysis part, but we haven't got any identification of sources. Who will be providing the data?
Good plan. Let's see, where do we want to put this? I mean, there's a...
I think we've kind of reached a stage where we can start at least identifying them so as to know whether the data that we're looking for will be obtained from these channels. I don't know if it is within the remit of what we have to do or not, but I did think it was a bit strange not to have sources when we actually are dealing with all the different risk scenarios, but no actual source.
Yeah, and there's, well, and there's, oh, okay, so there's really two. There's the one that I wrote, which is really mishearing what you were saying, and then there's... And, my thought on the scenarios was that the source of information would simply be the membership of the group. Because, again, these are at such a high level.
Yeah.
And that then we could use a comment cycle to publicize those and encourage other scenarios to be developed and submitted back to us. I mean, another approach to that would be to put out a call much more broadly to the community now and say, we're building risk scenarios. I think the risk that I see in doing it that way is that we're... In addition to building risk scenarios, we're also refining our lists, and I worry that publishing that spreadsheet to the whole community right now for risk scenarios would confuse the heck out of people. So I guess my inclination is to have the source of risk scenarios be the membership of the DSSA for this round. What do people think of that? And then, for sure, sources of information required for the detailed analysis of the ones of the risk scenarios that we identify for the go deep phase absolutely should go into this phase, at least on a preliminary basis. Does that finesse your thought enough, Olivier? What do you think?
Yes, thank you, Mikey. It's Olivier. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
I totally agree that sharing the risk scenarios with the wider community is probably going to confuse them at this stage, except if we do have a very large document or fairly large document that will explain what we're doing. But it is pretty theoretical and I think not digestible by everyone.
Yeah, and one of the things that is a big piece of the work that isn't done yet is definitions of all these terms, like, you know, what is vulnerability? Which I'm pretty confident that I can crash out a first draft because there are definitions in the methodology that I can steal, basically. But they're not done. And so I think that the document comes together as a whole and stands pretty well by the end of the work that we're going to do over the next couple of months. But it's pretty rough to push out right now. Okay, those are good ones. I'm going to highlight this in a way that I remember to build it back into the draft when I'm preparing. Anything else that people see in this that we should tune? I thought what I would do is sort of throw some of these into the status report. I added a column to the status report to sort of put some of these milestones out there with dates. And I thought I'd sort of toss some of these in there and see how things stack up. And my thought is that on the second half, the ops group part, with your permission, I would just go ahead and crash out another iteration of the draft. I think it's easier for me to just keep holding the pen for at least one more round, because there's a whole nother layer to the methodology that's easily summarized, but I didn't want to summarize it until I made sure that I wasn't completely off the beam. But presuming that it's okay, then I'll go ahead and do that this week. And that, I think, will give us something that is pretty close to the stage where we'll probably switch over to Word. We've reached the limits of a mind map and need to switch over to a document format for this. So that's another thing that I'm thinking I'll start to do. There's one thing in here that I want to draw your attention to, and that's this NIST 800-53 methodology that's down there at the bottom. It's a companion to the 800-30 series that we're working on, and it's essentially, it precedes the 800-31, but it goes extremely deep into the vulnerabilities thing. And what triggered this for me was in the SSRRT report, they refer to what we're doing as a gap analysis. Now that phrase is not in our charter. It's alluded to in the last bullet that says identify gaps, But gap analysis in the methodological sense has a more refined meaning. And so I should send you all a link to the 800-53 and 53A methodologies, because that's where I got the lists of vulnerabilities that show up in the spreadsheet. I think it's a useful addition, not as a checklist. And in fact, the folks who wrote the methodology say that using it as a checklist is a really bad idea, but as a source of ideas for vulnerabilities, it's very rich. It's the combined two documents are well over 250 pages long and go into a whole lot of detail, at least three levels below the level that I stapled into that spreadsheet. And my thought is that I'm going to mine that document as well for some of this stuff. So with your permission, I'll go ahead and do that and keep bringing drafts back to you to edit. Okay, the next thing on the agenda, if we're done with this, is a conversation that Jim and I started on the list and that was on the agenda for last weekend. We just didn't get to it. And that's the question that was raised when I went ahead and sort of summarily added Wendy Seltzer to the GNSO part of the mailing list. And it dawned on me that in the past, you know, when we added people to the group, we, the ops group, talked about it first. And so I thought that that was an interesting discussion to bring back here. And I think there are a couple of ways we could do this. The way that I was thinking about it in Costa Rica was that each of us as co-chairs are sort of the gatekeeper for the people in our respective constituencies that come in and out of the group. And we could formalize that and say, yes, that's the way we do it. Or we could formalize this notion that while we're gatekeepers, we check back with the rest of the group before we do it. And I just want to take a minute to see which way people prefer to do that. I note that, and with some enthusiasm, that a couple of folks have joined from the SAC, and it followed the model that each of us are sort of gatekeepers for our respective gangs. And I'm quite comfortable with that. But I do think that we should just take a moment and agree that that's the way we want to do it. I wasn't intending to have Wendy in as a participant. She asked just to be an observer. And so my thought is that she would get the emails, and if she wanted to dial into the calls, that's fine with me, but that she's not a contributor to the group. And I think that's her understanding as well, although I will probably confirm that with her. But I felt like I got a little bit ahead of the group there. So I just wanted to check and see what people's reactions were. Jim, go ahead.
Well, since this is Jim Galvin, I feel like I raised the question and pressed on the issue a bit. I'll just open up the comments here. I really don't fundamentally have an issue with observers. It's more important to me that we all just, you know, have an understanding of what we want from observers, and that there's a status and a known status and a known understanding and a known agreement about all of it amongst us. I mean, I certainly don't have any issues with Wendy in particular, but, you know, this kind of discussion is not about Wendy in particular. It's just about the principle. And I'm reacting a little bit in part to the fact that, well, we're so careful to have a policy with respect to confidential information that suddenly observers feel a little bit interesting in that context. If we were more of an open group, I mean, I've chaired other joint working groups, and, you know, observers, people listening, joining the group, never had any issue, never felt the need of policy. You know, I mean, who cares? Everything we do is public and open. So none of that's an issue. And I'm very happy to have observers contribute, too, for that matter. You know, I mean, it only matters when you come down to voting. But we have this extra burden about the confidential information. And so it feels like we should have probably at least a statement or an agreement amongst ourselves about what we're doing and why and how observers really fit in our process here. And then I guess maybe a question in this too, Mikey. Is she an observer to DSSA or the ops group or both? And it only just occurred to me now that that's an interesting distinction to make. And I wonder what we really did with joining her to the mailing list. Did you put her on both or just this one or what?
Just to the DSSA, just to the general list, not to the opposite.
Okay. And so then, you know, that just, it does just raise the question of what is our intent with respect to observers, even with the ops list. I mean, we generally consider ourselves open, certainly, with respect to anyone as a DSSA member.
Right.
We're certainly not trying to be a secret or anything like that. So where do observers fit in that picture? So again, very quickly, you know, I don't really have a vested concern, but I do raise the question, given that we have concerns about confidentiality, and so it feels like we should have an understanding about what observers mean because of that. And then other than that, I think Mikey or, you know, whatever, administratively, we should be able to just do it. I'm not looking to create some burdensome process here where we each have to double check with our constituencies on adding an observer. That just seems a little bit much to me.
Yeah.
So that's my comment.
That's a really good comment and raises a whole bunch of stuff that I kind of want to ponder. And Olivier, go ahead while I ponder.
Thanks, Mikey. It's Olivier for the transcript. I agree with Jim. I just wonder what the level of confidentiality is in the group, both in the DSSA and the DSSA ops. The DSSA, I was under the impression, was totally open, as in the archives and the discussions and so on can be downloaded and looked at by everyone. I wasn't quite sure of the DSSA ops. I don't know if the list is archived and can also be consulted, and whether the calls are open as well.
Yep.
Certainly, if both the calls on DSSA ops and DSSA are open, then I just wonder whether we need to go through the extra length of tagging someone as an observer, or rather anyone dialing in would be an observer unless they are part of the working group.
The one list that probably is not archived is the call phone number password list. And so the thing that the calls themselves are, the recordings are archived and are public.
Right.
And so I'm starting to think that I have invented something that doesn't need to be invented. If a person wants to be an observer, they can listen to the calls, and they can read the email through the archives. And so I think I'm going to walk this one back. At least that's my initial idea. And talk to Wendy and say, because I think Jim's got a really valid point, which is that this group was crafted with some care because of the confidential information that we may be dealing with as we go deeper. And I'm not sure that there's any value created by an observer category, because the ability to observe is so easy already, because everything is out there right now. All the calls and all of in both the ops and the full DSSA. So I think you know, that's at least my initial reaction, is that I'd be inclined to undo that decision, because I think it just makes it much clearer what's going on. Any objection to that? Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. The question really is, what is the difference between an observer and a participant? If, as Jim mentioned, we would also welcome input from observers.
Yeah, and I think that that's the difference, at least in my view, is that participants are selected by and representative of their respective constituencies. So they are formally vetted and forwarded, at least in the GNSO. I don't know how the rest of the constituencies are doing. And so, you know, if Wendy wanted to become a participant, there's a process available to do that. We could run that by the council, and the council could say, yes, indeed, and then she could become a participant in all respects. But there is a formal, again, at least on the GNSO side, there is at least a formal process to do that. So this observer thing is, like, different. It's, and I think, clouding the issue. Let's see. Jim, and then Vera, go ahead.
So, this is Jim Galvin, and in my past experience here with dealing with, let's call them observers, never actually gave them a label before in a prior group, but the only time it matters whether someone is a selected member of the group or defined member of the group, or, you know, whatever your word is for the criteria by which someone participates to have something to say, presumably useful, is when you have to vote for whatever definition of voting is important to the group. Other than that, you know, I mean, at least from my point of view, unless something is intended to be a closed group, and that's, you know, part of its definition and part of its charter, you know, this is ICANN. Everything is open and transparent. I'm happy to have anybody join the list and have anybody participate in discussions and have something to say. And, you know, when it comes time to decide what is and isn't going to be included in any work product, I think that's really probably the only thing. I was going to say something else, but I've changed my mind. When it comes down to whether something's to be included or not included in a work product, then that's when you look to distinguish between those who can vote for whatever your definition is of voting in the group versus those who can't. And only those who've been selected by, you know, whatever criteria is indicated for the group are there. So, I mean, to that extent, I'm not inclined to exclude Wendy or anyone else. You know, I'm happy to have her, you know, and anyone else for that matter. You know, my distinction would be when it comes time to make decisions, she just doesn't get a voice in a decision, as would be the case with anyone else who's an observer. But again, as I said before, I don't really have a vested interest. Whatever the group wants to decide is going to be fine with me, too. That's it.
Jörg, go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Jörg for the transcript. I just want to point out that I do not see a difference between an observer and a participant the way you, Mikey, pointed it out before. And the only thing I could see is, as Jim already mentioned, voting. Whereas, on the other hand, and probably Bart would be able to answer that, my recollection at least is that the participants in the first place have been more or less picked. So I wonder why this has been done or had been done, because now I don't see that there is any difference between a participant or an observer, or be it just the point in time where we joined the work. So probably Bart could say something about the intent.
Yeah, I was going to sort of throw this back to all the charterers, because boy, there was a pretty elaborate discussion in the GNSO part. Do you have, I'm with Jurg on this one. Do you have some insights for us here?
It goes back, first of all, to create at least some parity between the participating SOs and ACs. That's one. But that's for, say, to use another term, for membership of the DSSA. So that's participants in your terminology. And secondly, because they came through the SOs and ACs, and if you look at the charter, you have to go back to the chartering to the participating SOs and ACs, depending on the origin. So I would say for ASSEC, it's again different than for the GNSO, and again different for the CCNSO. And at the end, it's probably because as Olivier has pointed out, on the voting and getting back to the SOs and ACs and explaining what has been done. So that's one. But on the other hand, what you see as well, say the DSSA itself may invite observers.
Is the term observers, though, in the charter? I mean, I know that I haven't got the charter in front of me. I know that we've got a clause in the charter that lets us invite experts, and presumably they would be in as participants or members. See, I think what I did is I created sort of a fuzzy category.
Yeah.
And called it observer. And I think that fuzziness is not helpful. I think it would actually be pretty easy for Wendy to become a participant from the GNSO, because we've had some attrition. And, we don't have any participation from Wendy's part of the GNSO. In any event, so it seems to me that one approach to this is to say back to Wendy, I goofed, I made up a category that doesn't really exist, and our charter does take some care as to how the group is formulated. So you have a choice. You can either be an observer, because everything we're doing is out there in the world, or you can be a member, and if you want to do that, we can run that through the GNSO Council, and then she's really a member of the group. I think that in her case, she's mostly interested in tracking it, but I need to check with her on that, because I don't...
If that's the case, I would say, the material on the website is available anyway.
Yeah.
So why participate? There is another element to it, and this was introduced, I think, at least for the first time in one of the in a working group that was co-created by the CCNSO, that you have some say quality, quote unquote. Criteria. So if you want to be a participant and say either the liaison or say a member, you have to demonstrate knowledge or expertise of aspects of the objective of the DSSA working group and commit to actively participate in the activity.
Yeah, and that's actually a form that we filled out on the GNSO side to get into this group.
Yeah.
I'm still inclined to sort of back out of this decision that I made. I think what I'll do is talk to Wendy and see what she wants to do. I think that this idea of mine sort of muddies the... Oh, Jim, I missed your hand. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I think that's a leftover. My apologies.
Oh, okay. York, go ahead. Oh, you made it.
No, I made it. I would address the problem by advising Vendy to take a look at those materials available on the websites and on the respective email mailing lists and so forth. And I wouldn't want to create another status. And she can basically do what everybody could do with respect to gather information, and she just doesn't need a certain status for it. And everybody else is called a participant, and a participant has some obligations. And one obligation would be that he can contribute and that he wants to contribute.
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty comfortable with the way this is headed. I think what I'll do is talk to Wendy and see whether she, you know, what her thought is. Mark, here's a question for the staff side. And maybe you can run back up through the technical community and find out the answer to this. I know that one of the things that is terribly inconvenient about the archived list is you have to keep going back to the web page to read them.
Mm-hmm.
And what would be really handy is a mechanism in ICANN where if a person wants to monitor a list, they can subscribe to the list as a read-only member of the list. Now, I know that that capability exists in the software that you're using, because I run the same software. there are endless examples, at least in the GNSO side, that people are members of working groups simply because they want the convenience of the email delivered to their inbox,
rather
than having to repeatedly go back out to a web page. And so this is a general question about the email list, not specific to DSSA.
No, I'll check.
Yeah, I think it would greatly improve the resource, because you know there are about five or six lists that I would subscribe to in a heartbeat if I could actually just subscribe to the list and get it delivered to my inbox, so that I didn't have to go out to the web once a week and read the web-based transcripts. So with that, let me take the action to go off and check with Wendy and sort of see what she wants to do. But thanks for the, I think, great conversation. I think it's really helpful. Olivier, you get last word, I think.
Thanks, Mikey. It's Olivier. With regards to the lists, I actually administer the majority of the at-large lists, and yes, it is possible to set up a field for that person to be able to read but not send anything to the list. This is the only thing is it has to be done by the list manager. So I'm not sure who has the list manager password for the DSSA lists. I gather it probably would be our support staff.
They'd
need to basically subscribe Wendy in and click on the little box which says no posting.
Yeah.
But I'll check. I think it's Glenn, but I'm not sure.
I think the key is that it would be nice to be able to offer that to the world at large as an option, as a way to follow a working group in the ICANN community, so that we didn't have to bug individual list administrators. It would just be something that flowed through the website that says, here are the lists, big list of email list. Oh, do you want to subscribe to this list in a read-only capacity? Click here. And then, poof, it happens. That's a geek thing. So, it'd be a nice addition to the transparency gizmo. Okay. The next couple are things that have just sort of come up since Costa Rica that I want to give you guys a heads up about. The first is that SSRRT published their report, I think, the day that we met in Costa Rica. I think they published it on Thursday, and I read it while I was on vacation. And the comment period is open and is closing at the end of this week. And I was thinking I would comment as an individual to it. There's a bunch of stuff in it that's very interesting. And I wanted to alert you, the rest of you, to the fact that that comment period is closing so soon. I think it actually would have been nice to be able to develop comments from the DSSA, but I think it's just there's not enough time to do it. And I'm just wondering if any of the other of you are planning to do comments on that one as well. Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. It's Olivier. Yeah, we have a team in at large that's currently working on a statement. Whether one will come out or not, I don't know, but there are three or four people that are collecting input.
Okay. Well, I think what I'm going to do is just sort of in huge bold letters across the front, you know, say this is Mikey not speaking as an ISP, not speaking as GNSO, not speaking as DSSA, just Mikey. Because, you know, there are some interesting puzzlers in there. One of the ones that we get to deal with is the sort of... It's not clear to me whether this was an error or a tricky maneuver on their part, but they talk about the DSSA as an ongoing thing throughout the report. And, you know, we've made it pretty clear that we're a project. We have a beginning, middle, and end. But I think what they're doing is they're using what we've done as an example of a good piece of work and encouraging ICANN to figure out a way to make that work continue. And so... in response to that, I've stuck a section in the report draft outline that talks about a successor to the DSSA or activities, DSSA-like activities in the future, which we'll get to edit the heck out of and beat up. But I am going to make the comment just to make it clear that, you know, we're a project. We are not, and we have a pretty narrow mandate. So I thought I would make those comments, but make them as an individual, so that we don't have to grind through a review process. It's an awfully short time window. I'm sorry I didn't notice the comment deadline until this weekend. That was a goof. We just lost Jurg. I wonder what happened there. Hopefully he'll come back. Jurg, are you still on the phone?
I'm on the phone, but I lost connection. I'll reconnect.
Okay. The next two are Bill Manning posted to the DSSA list about sort of previews of our deliverables so that he can go off and talk to the RSAC about this. He addressed that to me. And I wanted to check with you all. Do you all want to be in on this conversation? Or do you want me to just... I was thinking that once we got through today's call, I would preview the report outline and the little spreadsheet for him. And since it's going out on the list, you know, it's pretty public. So I just wanted to see, you know, I thought I would then follow up with him and and talk to him and see what his reaction was. And I was curious, if you all wanted to be on that conversation, I might encourage him to join us on an ops call sometime. If you'd be okay with me just going ahead and doing that, I'll just call him. But I didn't want to do that without checking with you. Olivier, go ahead. Oh, I guess...
Mikey, I've been given a mic. I can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
I'm stuck with it. The hot potato.
Yeah. I think you've had that all along. My screen is quite far away from me at this point because I'm tilted back on my chair, you know, sort of relaxed, and so I misread that. Anyway, unless somebody really wants him to, I'd just as soon just go ahead and call him back. And essentially that's the same thing. Bill Graham also reached out and wants to compare notes with what we're doing as compared to his DNS risk committee of the board. And so I thought I would go ahead and do that as well. But again, if you would prefer to have that done in a more formal way, just sing out and I will change that around. The final thing is that in Europe, next Monday's a holiday. In the U.S., it's not. And given that we're on a pretty tight timeline, if it's okay with you all, I'd like to go ahead and do the ops call next Monday. Christina won't be joining us. Maybe some others, maybe Bart. But I'd sort of like to just keep the rhythm going. And I don't know, Olivier, Jörg, are you all... Olivier's okay with that. Is that a problem?
Like, is this a joke? I probably won't join.
Okay. Well, I think we'll just keep cracking along. And for those who can make it, great. For those who can't, have a great holiday. You know, we'll pick it up as we go. And Olivier, the only trick to this is that I'm not sure I know how to do dial-outs. So if you could dial in next Monday, that would be great, because I can learn. I can learn new tricks, but I don't offer the ironclad warranty that Christina doing this provides.
No problem. I'll dial in. That's fine.
Well, that's it for me. Anything else that is on people's minds that they want to share before we wrap up? All right, then. Talk to you all on Thursday, and we're off to the races. That's it for me. Christina, I think you can turn off the recording, and we'll call it a day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Everybody.